This is episode number 736 with Tom's Shoes founder, Blake Mycoskie.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, a former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
Oprah Winfrey said, "Don't worry about being successful, but work toward being significant and the success will naturally follow." I hope you're having a wonderful holiday season as we're wrapping up the end of the year. And I'm going to be sharing some of my end of year lessons, some of the biggest lessons I've learned from this year. And it's been a lot, trust me, especially a lot happening towards the end of the year. But I'm excited about this interview with Blake because he has done some incredible things for business and charity and making the world a better place. He's done it all and he's combined it in a powerful way. And if you don't know who Blake Mycoskie is, if you've never heard of Tom's Shoes, he is the founder and chief shoe giver of Tom's and the person behind the idea of One for One, which is a business model that helps a person in need with every product purchased. You've probably seen this. You've probably bought Tom's Shoes. You've probably bought from this model from another company, because many companies and brands have taken this model and implemented themselves, where you buy a product and they give that product to someone in need as well. It's a very popular model right now. And this simple idea has grown into a global movement. Tom's Shoes has provided almost 90 million pairs of shoes to children since 2006. And in this interview, we talk about the benefits of having a business that gives back, how to deal with negative backlash with empathy. So how to deal with the backlash when you try to do good in the world, but people make you wrong for it still. The power of storytelling for your business and how your business will ultimately suffer if you don't have a great story. Some of the major challenges that entrepreneurs are facing right now and what they need to do to get out of them, and what every business and entrepreneur should be thinking about in terms of charity and giving back. That and so much more. We cover things about his latest initiatives, which are mind-blowing, what he's been able to create with his platform, how to do good in the world, how to change policy in the world through your platform, and so much more. This is a really important interview. And I'd love you to share this out with your friends. LewisHowes.com/736. Let Blake know on Instagram what you think about this. Tag him as well. He's at Blake Mycoskie and at Tom's Shoes. You can check them both out there.
I don't know about you, but when around 3 p.m. hits, I find myself craving the right refreshment to get me through that mid-afternoon slump. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea is full-flavored sweet tea, but without the sugar and the calories. It might take several bottles for you to believe that a delicious sweet tea can really have zero sugar and zero calories. But you know what they say, life is full of surprises. Or in this case, full of flavor. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea. Try it to believe it. For 20% off your next 12 pack, head to Amazon and use promo code 20PureLeaf. That's promo code 20PureLeaf for 20% off. We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card, you call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone if you only had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Okay, quick math. The less your business depends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite, and you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/greatness. netsuite.com/greatness. Again, head to netsuite.com/greatness.
Guys, this couldn't be more timely of information. If you are looking to build a business, if you're looking to build a side hustle, a consulting business, a brand, you've got to be thinking in terms of how can I do good in the world? How can I give back? How can I serve more people than just serving myself of making money? And I believe that if you're not thinking about this and mindful about this, your business will ultimately struggle and suffer if you're not looking for ways to give in a more holistic approach in your business and in your brand. So I'm very excited about this. Again, make sure to share this with your friends, lewishouse.com/736. And without further ado, let me introduce you to the one, the only, Blake Mycoskie. Welcome, everyone, to the School of Greatness podcast. We have the legendary Blake Mycoskie in the house. Good to see you, man. How you doing?
That's a nice introduction.
You doing legendary. Well? You doing well?
I wish my wife would say that when I walk into the kitchen
well,
in the morning.
We have like, I don't know, probably a couple hundred mutual friends probably in this kind of...
For sure. I think every single book here is a book I've read and I know the author.
I was looking at your Instagram page recently and I saw, you know, Jesse Itzler was doing a video for you and we were talking about Scott Harrison and... So many mutual friends who are entrepreneurs, probably Adam Braun, you probably know, and all these guys.
Well.
So a lot of people have been on here. A lot of people have recommended having you on here, so I'm glad you're finally here.
I'm so glad to be here.
You are well known for creating Tom's Shoes, which has been kind of like the gold standard for how to run a business with social good behind it.
Thank you.
And everyone uses you as an example. They're like, well, I'm the Tom's Shoes of like sunglasses. I'm the Tom's Shoes of this. I'm
toothpaste,
the Tom's Shoes
coconut
of
oil.
Everything,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So everyone is kind of doing this... You buy one and we give one model, right?
Yeah.
What was your original inspiration for doing that? And did you think it would actually last 12 years and grow? Or was it like, maybe we'll make it past a few years and then give away a bunch of shoes?
It wasn't even a business when we launched it. We called it the Thomas Project. It was, you know, and what's so interesting is that there's been so many people that have emulated this one-for-one model, but we didn't really think about, like, we were creating a model. We just wanted to keep track of it. Like, it's the easiest way to keep track of this because, you know, I was traveling in South America, specifically Argentina. I saw all these kids in the streets, you know, street kids, you know, kind of sniffing glue and kind of, you know, really going through tough times, and none of them had shoes on. And I asked this woman one day, I was like, you know, why are these kids not in school? And she said, well, one of the reasons they're not in school is they have to have a school uniform to go to school. And part of that uniform is a pair of shoes, a black pair of shoes, actually, and they can't afford it. And so if their families can't afford the uniform and the shoes, then that...
They don't go to school.
They go to school. And
can't
then they
get education.
Into, then they get into all kinds of bad stuff. And so when I think back to that moment, the idea I had was so simple. Like, I basically went and volunteered with this organization for the day who had gone and gotten donated shoes. Mm-hmm. So they went to wealthy families in Buenos Aires, collected these, like, slightly used, they weren't even new shoes, but used shoes. They took them to the kids before the school year, and that was their donation. And I went and volunteered and donated shoes and got the joy of seeing kids get shoes. And that night, I came home, and I was talking to my buddy, who was a polo teacher of all things. His name's Alejo. And I said, Alejo, I said, this is what I did today. It was amazing. Like, I felt so good. Like, I felt, like, so full of spirit. And he said, yeah, but what's going to happen when they need their next pair of shoes? Mm. And it was like, I went from like a 10 to like a 5. Yeah. I was like, oh, like, I don't know. And like, maybe we didn't actually do something good today. Maybe we just like prolonged a future problem. And that's when I had the idea is like, you know, I've never been in charity. I've never been in philanthropy, but I'm an entrepreneur. I've started a few businesses. And what if you could start a business where every time you sold a pair of shoes, you would give a pair away? And then that way, it's really easy for the customer to understand. It's really easy to keep track of. It's not like, oh, 5% or 10% or 30% of your sales go to this nonprofit, and then how much actually gets to the kids. It was like, okay, like, you buy a pair, we give a pair. That simple. We'll call it one for one. And that was it. And it was just like, you know, I mean, at the time, I mean, I was kind of running another company, an online education company that I started. This was like a side project. Right. We didn't have like a business plan. We didn't even have a checking account. Like it was like, oh, let's just do this. And truthfully, at the time, I mean, I was single guy, like 29 years old, loved Argentina, loved going down there.
I love Argentina.
Right? And so I thought like, okay, this is cool. Once a year, right before school, I'll go down there. I'll give a couple hundred kids shoes, and then I'll come back at Christmas, give them all shoes, make it sustainable, and it would be like my cool little project. Like that was the idea.
Yeah, yeah.
And now we've given 88 million children a pair of
shoes. Wow, man. That's so amazing.
88 million, and it's been amazing. And I think, you know, the fact that there's been so many other companies take this one for one and actually call it a model now and emulate it has been one of the things that I think I and people at Tom's are most proud of. Like, it's amazing that when we read about companies that are helping people with eyeglasses, like what Warby Parker's done, or you look at other companies that have done it in everything from diapers to, you know, mattresses. I mean, it's like there's actually a really interesting way of offering a product to someone that they want to buy and at the same time help someone who has a need that would never be able to afford it. And so that's, I think, one of the things we're most proud of is that it has permeated business culture around the globe.
How many of these one-for-one models are out there?
Oh, there's hundreds, if not thousands. Yeah, I mean, and I go to Korea, and they're like there. And it just, I guess it just went, it just made sense to people. Like, it was like, okay, there's a lot of people that want something, and there's a lot of people that need something. And you connect the want and the need through commerce, you can actually, you can make it work. And so.
Do you think this model would have worked 30, 40 years ago?
No.
For companies?
I think the reason why I think it, what the number one thing that I say that if you really plot like the growth of Tom's, 2006 is when I started. It's also the year that Facebook went off campus.
And social media in general.
2007 was the year that YouTube started.
Wow.
You know, so literally you can plot.
It's probably Twitter.
Yeah, yeah. So you can literally plot our growth to the growth of social media.
Wow.
And so it's, and I think that the reason that is so important is, and this is why other brands have emulated this, both from a giving perspective, but also from just a business perspective, is that it became about storytelling. And that's so much what you're about. So it's like, it's about like connecting people to a story, to the power to be part of something bigger than themselves.
Wow.
And you could never do that through advertising because it wouldn't be authentic. But what is authentic is when you got your first pair of Toms in 2007 and you watched a video of us giving them to children in Argentina, you wanted to post that on your
Facebook
or MySpace. Yeah. It was a big deal back then. And say, like, look, I did this. I actually am wearing these shoes because it's helping these kids get shoes.
Right.
And so I think that's a big part of why we were able to grow. And then the other part of our growth that is really unique is I had no investors. You know, went from zero to $500 million in sales with no investors in 5 years.
$500 million in sales in 5 years?
6 years.
Six years.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's
crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts.
But these are like affordable shoes.
Yeah,
these aren't 40, like
$48.
These aren't $300 shoes.
No.
That's a lot of shoes.
48 to our boots sell for like $150.
Yeah. But back then
it was all $40.
$40.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
$500 million in sales.
Yeah. But that's because of connecting in a way that allowed the customer to be the marketer. It allowed the customer to be the hero.
And the storyteller.
Yeah, exactly.
The champion.
And so that's what I think is so unique. And then frankly, you know, we got to $500 million in 6 years. And then over the last 6 years, we haven't grown hardly because it's been hard to have that fresh story. It's been hard to have a reason for someone to get as engaged. Now, people love our shoes and we still, you know, sell a ton of shoes every year. And the business has been real successful and we've helped, you know, millions of kids every year get new shoes. So our mission has stayed great, but we haven't had that like astronomical growth again because so many people have emulated it that it's like, okay, I like your shoes, but I have no need to go on to Twitter or Facebook or Snapchat or whatever and tell all my friends I bought a pair of shoes. But it'd actually be weird. Like, it'd be weird if you were like, guess what? I got Tom's shoes today and they helped give a pair to a child in need. All your followers would be like, yeah, like I know that started 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Right? So unfortunately, our success and the number of kids that we've helped around the world, while it's been incredibly gratifying, it hasn't, until recently, had like another big story to tell. And so that's what's been, like any business, you have to kind of, and then you become more focused on the fashion trends and getting the styles right. And we built a great men's business over the last couple of years, but that doesn't happen overnight.
Mm. Do you think a business can thrive off of one story after 10 years?
I think you can maintain. So I guess thriving is all relative, right?
Like, maintain meaning get the same amount of sales.
Yeah, like I think you can maintain that base. You know, we've maintained basically $500 million business, a little bit less than that over the past, you know, 4 or 5 years because we have that base and they're buying the shoes because they're connected to the mission. They respect Toms as a brand. They like the styles.
They like the quality.
They like the quality, all that. But in order to have another level of growth, I think you need to engage your customers in a new story or in something that they feel that when they move, it makes a difference. Mm-hmm. And so that's been something that you can never predict when that's going to happen or how that's going to happen. But I think when you look at like, I mean, Apple's a great example of that. Yeah. You know, if you look at the different peaks and valleys of Apple over a 40-year period of time, you know, Patagonia is a great example of that. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, they had, you know, a huge rush with the original Patagonia in the late 80s. I mean, I don't know if you had one when you were a kid, but everyone I knew had one.
Yeah.
And then they kind of came down quite a bit and they plateaued. And then in the last 5 years, they've really grown again. So I think it's Vans is a great example in the footwear space where in the 70s, it became the hottest thing. Then they almost went bankrupt.
Yeah.
And then now they're $4 billion business or something.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how have you stayed inspired by the same story?
Yeah,
it's like you've had every press coverage there is possible in the last decade.
Sure.
Right? You were in every commercial for the first 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
I think I remember seeing like a Chase Bank commercial one time.
Yeah, AT&T commercial. Yeah, a bunch of them.
Commercials that we're promoting, which also helps sell shoes
when
you're doing this, when other people are talking about your story of the story. But yeah, how do you stay inspired for that long?
Well, it's been hard. I mean, part of what has inspired me a lot in the last, say, 4 to 5 years is, I say, going from being the athlete to the coach.
Mm.
I was like the star athlete for, say, the first 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, you were Tom Brady.
That's a nice call. I'll take that compliment. But then I the only way to stay inspired was to move more into a coach role. Mm-hmm. And not just a coach for people at Tom's. About 4 years ago, I decided to sell half the business. And the reason I did that is because we had built it to this size. We had kind of plateaued. We were trying to figure out how to grow more international, retail, things that I didn't really know a lot about. And I just was lonely. I had, you know, no board of directors, you know, no partners. No, I mean, and every time we wrote like a $30 million check, it was like my personal checking account.
Wow.
Like if we wanted to place a big order or try to do some new stores, I mean, literally it was like the equivalent of writing a personal check every single time. And so I ended up bringing in a partner. I sold 50% of the business. We brought in a great CEO, an amazing guy from Starbucks, Jim Alling, who was there with Howard for many years in building Starbucks. Great servant leader. And that allowed me, A, through having less pressure day to day to be running everything, but also a huge liquidity event allowed me to start investing in other social entrepreneurs. So a big part of what's inspired me the past 4 years has not just been like kind of being the spiritual guide of Tom's, but really helping other nonprofits get started, other social entrepreneurs get started, and really seeing them thrive.
Wow.
Like, there's this great organization I always love talking about because it's one of my very first investments called Art Lifting. And it was this really smart young entrepreneur from Boston. And when she was going to school every day as an undergrad, she would see homeless people on the street, but they would be trying to sell artwork that they could create. And she was like, "This, if you took this art and you put it in a gallery and it wasn't had the stigma of someone who's homeless, you would pay a lot of money for this art."
Right.
So she created the first art gallery for profit to represent, you know, homeless artists. And she's taken, and she now expanded all over the world. And so now you have all these amazingly talented people who unfortunately have had some negative events in their life that ended up getting them on the streets. Now they're not only selling original pieces in galleries, but then they're licensing them to like hotel groups like Hilton. There's Billabong, you know, board shorts are buying. So that's a perfect example of what's inspired me is, it's called Art Lifting, is finding people who are like, okay, I see a problem in the world. I have an entrepreneurial for-profit solution, and putting them together. And then usually they need some capital and a little bit of mentorship. And that's where me and my wife have spent a lot of time.
Wow. How many people have you invested
in? I think we've invested in like 30 or 40 of these companies now. Not all of them have worked out, but a lot of them are actually thriving businesses now. Mm. So, yeah.
It seems like the younger generation wants to buy things that have more social good behind them.
Sure.
There's more causes behind it.
100% right? data behind that. Yeah.
I mean, there's some people that are just like, just want the Gucci or whatever the most fashionable thing, but most people I feel like are interested in learning about giving in a certain way when they buy something that is doing something good in the world. Do you think if an entrepreneur starts a new business today that they can grow and thrive without having a giving back component? Yeah. Or are they more likely to fail without giving back?
You know, it's a really good question, something I've thought a lot about, and I get that question a lot, like when I speak at universities and stuff. I think that a company has to be transparent with their social purpose from the beginning to really connect with especially Gen Z and millennial customers.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think they have to have a one for one. Uh-huh. And I don't think they necessarily even have to have a percentage of their sales is going to this thing. But I do think they have to be very clear on why they exist, and it can't be just to make money. Mm-hmm. So, like, it could be their supply chain. Like, Everlane is a great example, a brand that says, look.
They just sponsored the show, actually.
Really?
Yeah, it hasn't come out yet, but that's one of our sponsors.
Really? Great.
I just found out about them.
Can't get more seamless than that, right? Like, that was not planned.
I was literally just looking at them today because I'm supposed to pick out some outfits, and I was like, this stuff looks really good.
It's absolutely great, yeah. So, that's a perfect example. And Everlane, I think, is an example of an organization that, while they're not doing one for one, they've been inspired by Tom's to say, okay, our mission is to have a radically transparent supply chain to provide quality apparel at a price that cuts out the middleman.
Right.
Very similar to Warby Parker did.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Everlane's a great example where
But they're not giving back. They're just saying we're taking that money
and making it more transparent. And so I think, so to answer your question, I think
that's
what modern business has to do. You have to have a purpose bigger than just making money. If your purpose is just to sell a widget and make money, I think it's very hard to attract and retain young customers.
Yeah, unless you're like a software that just has the best solution for someone's problem.
I think in tech, you can get away with it. I think, you know, social media, you can get away with it. Probably anything that is highly addictive, coffee.
Doesn't have to get back.
But if it's something where there's a choice of multiple brands and all things are equal, I think what you'll find is that customers would rather support an organization that has a social purpose.
And a powerful story behind that purpose, right?
Yeah.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. When you want the best, you have to act quickly. or someone else will get it instead. Like when you're trying to buy tickets for the best seat at your favorite team's big game, or when you're hiring for your business and you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. With ZipRecruiter, you can find qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I believe finding the right team member is one of the most important steps in setting up my company for success. We like to ensure our new hires will be a good fit before they're even on the team. So I am grateful that I have ZipRecruiter's help when we want to grow the team fast. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
How easy is it to create a social impact business?
Well, I think it's one of the things that's harder is you have a cost structure that's different than a traditional business. Mm-hmm. Now, the only way it financially can make sense is if the cost it takes to either have a different supply chain or the cost it takes to do giving like us, that cost is not just seen as a cost, but as an investment in your marketing, customer loyalty,
et cetera. That is marketing, essentially.
Yeah. So it is. So
it's because how many shoes do you give away? Or let's say
10 million shoes a year.
10 million. And how much does that cost?
Yeah. So that's costing, almost, say, 10 to, it's $50 to $70 million a year.
$50 million a year on giving away products.
Yeah. So,
as opposed to running like advertising,
exactly.
Targeting.
Yeah, totally. But what you find is that because you're doing this, and it was more in the early days than it is now, is it is connecting people to, in a way, to your brand that advertising can't buy. That's the difference, I think. It's like, it's really hard. Now, some brands can get away with it, certain types of aspirational advertising. I think Nike's a good example
of
that. Where it's just part of the culture. Like, it's like they create ads that really make you feel a certain way about the brand, which then causes you to purchase it.
Tell you great stories, things like that. Yeah.
But most brands, if you want to have that level of intimacy and connection with your customer, it's got to be deeper than the surface level of advertising. And that's where I think giving is really a unique opportunity. Or I say giving meaning also something like the supply chain of transparency that Everlane has.
Giving back to your...
It's got to have a bigger purpose.
Yeah, interesting. If you were starting a business today and you were starting from scratch,
yeah,
what type of business would you create that wasn't Tom's or anything you're working on?
Sure.
But if you're just like an entrepreneur, starting from scratch,
great.
Would it, what industry would it be in?
Mm. Yeah.
What give back would it have, or component would it have, or transparency would it have? And why would you do that?
So I've thought about this, and I have too many other things going on to do this business. So maybe someone will take this and run with it and build something great.
Yeah.
But I really think in the clean energy space. And I think one of the biggest issues of our time is going to be climate change. It already is. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's more technology today, and every day it's like microprocessors, like solar, wind, like this stuff is getting more and more affordable. And there's all different types of incentives to get into these businesses. And I think what's happened is the incumbent is these big power companies. And so like it has every checkbox for me of what is a great entrepreneur opportunity. It's got, the big guys are slow and fat and happy. It's a new technology that is rapidly getting better. It is what young people really care about, because this environment they need, this earth they need to keep for a while.
Right.
If I was starting from scratch, I think there are so many opportunities in the clean energy space that entrepreneurs of all different sizes could capitalize on.
Yeah, you could have an energy company, and then with the recycled energy, you can give it to a community that can't afford it.
Yeah, there's so many ways to do that.
You could power like 1,000 cities a year or something, you know what I mean?
One of the biggest problems, we do a lot of work in places like Malawi or Haiti or Cambodia, all these different places that oftentimes people are living without running water and without electricity. And one of the biggest health issues is especially for kids who are wanting to you know, do their homework and stuff at night. It gets dark very early in some of these communities, different times of the year. And they're inside these huts or in these dwellings, and they're burning, you know, coal or something to have light, but they're breathing that smoke, and they get, you know, horrible lung diseases.
Right.
And so, you know, from a public health perspective, giving people solar or some type of energy is a game changer.
It's powerful, yeah. Now, I'm curious. I remember hearing this maybe like 5 years ago, maybe it was 5, 6 years ago, about all this negative backlash you were getting, or
yes.
Tom Shoes was getting,
sure.
Of
yeah.
Like, okay, I can't remember what the articles were, but it's something about like, you're giving the shoes, you're not empowering people to work, or you're this and that, right? How do you deal with the critics or the haters or the backlash of trying to do good?
Yeah.
Like, your mission and intention is to serve humanity.
Yeah.
And yet, shame on you for trying to help us.
We're not doing it right. Yeah.
You're hurting people here.
Yeah.
You're screwing people out of jobs or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I can't remember specifics.
Combination of those things.
How do you handle that type of high and then low right afterwards of the negative effects that people were talking about?
Well, the first thing is you develop thick skin.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I remember, like, I look at, like, myself, you know, 6, 7 years ago to today, and my ability to deal with critics or the kind of, you know, faceless people online that can really dig in on comments on social media or whatever is tough. But at the same time, I think one of the best lessons I learned was to try to be curious enough to see where it's coming from and to really see, is there a way to maybe not like get into a debate with that group, but to learn enough to say like, okay, well, maybe there is some business opportunity here.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the my favorite stories to tell is like, I think it was 5, 6 years ago, one of the biggest critiques we were getting was, you know, the kind of like, you should teach a person to fish, not give them fish.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, I agree. Like, in a perfect world, I could teach people to become a shoemaker.
Right.
They could have shoes for their kids. They could sell them. Like, yes. And that's typically what I find with critics is they're coming from an idealized, oftentimes, you know, even kind of more kind of academic perspective, and which is great. But they're not like in
real life.
They're not like in the one of my favorite quotes is Theodore Roosevelt talks about
the
man
arena.
In the arena. Yeah. Right. They're not in the arena.
Yeah.
Like, they're outside the arena. And so, like, what you have to do is you have to recognize with empathy that they're outside the arena. And you have to say, okay, well, how can I take this and potentially transform it into something that works in the arena? And so with the criticism we were getting around, like, well, we need to create more jobs. Like, if you really want to transform people out of poverty, you've got to create basic needs, which is, you know, food, shelter, eyesight, shoes, that education.
Education.
And then you got to create jobs. And so,
but the shoes provide education, which provides jobs.
Well,
right?
It can. Well, the shoes can provide education, but I think that in some level, the critique about job creation was a fair one.
Sure.
Especially because we got to a scale where we could, by making some changes, we could have an impact on these communities. So in 2013, I said, okay, by 2016, we were going to create 25% of all Tom's giving shoes in the countries we give them in.
That's powerful.
That was a big statement. We ended up going from 25% goal to 50% in 2 years.
Wow.
And it made us more money. So it was like the best. And the reason it made us more money was we were now sourcing it like in India and Kenya, Ethiopia, some of these places. We were making the shoes there, so we didn't have to pay for shipping, which is one of the most important things or cost things. And we were able to use the materials, local materials.
Yeah.
So we're now creating jobs, we're satisfying a ton of critics, and we're more cost efficient in getting the shoes to the people that need them the most.
So the critics were actually a powerful.
So in that one little case, it helped. Now, there was a lot of other, you know, criticisms that probably weren't helpful. But in that case, what I learned was if you just immediately kind of fight opposition with opposition, then you miss the ability to really understand what an adversary or someone is coming at. Because if you understand them enough, then you can potentially use it to your power. And so what I realized was people were not critiquing us because they didn't appreciate our giving model. It sounded like they didn't appreciate it. But what they really were saying was a company of your scale should be more responsible with the supply chain. And if you can, you should create, you know, more economic stimulation.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've had some failures too. Like, we tried to do a factory in Haiti, and that was the first factory we did outside of our traditional supply chain. And everyone celebrated, and President Clinton talked about how great it was, and it was all this stuff. 2 years later, we had to shut it down. And it was super painful because what we realized is we were trying to do something to answer the critics, but we weren't really thinking about what was good for the business.
Wow.
So then we went to India and we said, okay, India actually has some really great factories that by working with them, we can create more jobs in these communities that desperately need them, and it can be sustainable. And now we make, you know, school shoes for kids in India, leather school shoes, and it's been great for the business and great for the impact.
Wow.
So it's just, it's one of those things where you kind of have to take the criticism and you have to look at it, you know, with a curious, what I say, a beginner's mind, mm-hmm. but you also always have to have in the back of your mind that it has to be sustainable from a business perspective. It can't just be a response.
Serving a critic's need, but it's got to be smart, and that's interesting, though. What would you say is the biggest challenge you face personally right now in your life?
Man, right now, my schedule. I just, on the way here, my wife and I just got into it. I mean, it was just, not pretty. I mean, I have two kids. I have a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old. We split our time between Wyoming and Los Angeles. I know we're going to get to it, but literally I went from kind of semi-retired chairman of Tom's, maybe coming to the office, you know, a couple times a month, to now I've been like working like I'm back in the startup days, and this has kind of thrown my family through a tailspin. So,
wow. So
my biggest challenge right now is I'm so passionate about this new campaign that we're working on with Tom's, and I think its potential impact on American history, but at the same time, none of my family needs have changed. And my wife's like, okay, like, who's taking our son to snowboard lessons? Yeah, yeah. Like, when was the last time you got quality time with your daughter?
Wow.
When was the last time we had a date night? You know, why are you on a plane again? So I think with a lot of people who are entrepreneurs who love what they do, one of the biggest challenges is managing your time, because it's just everything that is an opportunity to move your mission forward is something you want to do.
It takes time. So how do you manage it all then?
So what I'm trying to think about now, because and I have been, is really just, there's a great book called Essentialism. I don't know if you've read it.
Yeah.
So I think that book's great. I'm really kind of trying to go back to that book right now and start each week with like, okay, what are the things that only I can do? Mm. Like literally, like there might be the most amazing person that wants to meet with us on this new campaign we're working on, but they absolutely have to have me in the room, or could they get 90% of what we could get done if I'm not there, but my chief of staff is there, or the head of marketing or whatever is there? And so I think the biggest thing is just really trying to remove yourself from meetings, because that often takes the most time. Only I can do this, right? So this is what I need to be spending my time, is communicating and meeting with people who have audiences of engaged people that are want to be activated. I need to spend less time saying yes to, you know, meetings. And that's good, because I don't really like being in meetings.
Right.
So, but it's so hard when you have people who really have, you know, great ideas and great opportunities for partnership, not just to say yes, and the next thing you know, you have no time on your calendar for anything
else. I always tried to create the list of like all the things I'm doing right now, all the things that I don't need to be doing that I am doing.
Yeah.
And the things that only I can do.
Yeah. And that third part's so critical.
And try to just focus on, okay, well, here are two other lists that things I'm doing and things I don't need to be doing, but someone else can do. Like, when we got to start pushing that over as fast as possible so I can focus more on that one list of key things, like doing the interviews or doing the phone calls with the new introductions with people or the lunch meetings, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
To build
that only you can do.
That only I can do.
Yeah. I think the other thing is eliminating, whenever you hear the word should in your vocabulary, that's something you probably shouldn't do. I should do this, it's actually your guilt or your way that you've been programmed to think you have to do something that you really don't have to do.
Yeah.
So I've found myself, whenever I catch myself, I should go to that tonight, or I should be in that meeting, then I actually know that's a trigger of, no, actually you shouldn't be. Because if the reason you're going is because you had this kind of guilt that you should be there, it's probably not absolutely necessary.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah.
What do you think entrepreneurs struggle with the most right now, with all the social media out there and all the different opportunities and building a team and hiring and managing people? What do you think is the biggest challenge
for entrepreneurs?
Of all of it? Yeah.
Well, I think that right now, we're in a very unique time where there is a lot of capital to a lot of crappy ideas.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of venture capital getting thrown at entrepreneurs that really don't have real businesses. And so I think the hard thing for entrepreneurs right now is, and I worry about entrepreneurs, you know, wasting 5 years of their life you know, chasing something that really there's not a purpose for, yeah, just because they can access the capital. And then they're going to look back and then, you know, who knows what's going to happen with the economy. And that capital is not going to be there. But the worst thing is time, because you could spend, you know, there's so much capital available now to mediocre companies and mediocre ideas that it's not so much about losing that capital. That's going to happen. But I mean, venture capitalists are big boys and big girls, and they expect that to happen.
Yeah.
But worse is the loss of time. And so if you're peak time to start something in your kind of mid-20s to mid-30s before you have a family and all these other things, and you can just go focus, and you waste that time on something that's just kind of a mediocre idea.
And you never get any sales.
Exactly.
You never launch anything.
Yeah, you don't do it because you have so much capital. You can just keep, you can keep trying to make it perfect. Yeah.
Oh my God.
We always say, don't let, it's progress, not perfection.
Yeah.
And some of the best things I think that came out of, you know, the last bust was the minimum viable product, you know, really trying to get launched. Doesn't have to be perfect. Try to get revenue, try to get customers. So I think the biggest thing that I worry about with the state of entrepreneurship now is just there's just too much capital.
Yeah. I've never raised money for anything. I've always kind of like just hustled on my own
over
the last 8 years.
That's great.
And just reinvested the money back into building the team and everything. And I always get like friends who are raising money and they'll raise a few million here and there. Some of them works out, some of them doesn't.
Yeah.
And they go start a new thing and raise more money. And I'm like, I don't know if I could live with myself.
Exactly.
If it didn't work out, and I didn't pay these people back.
Yeah, no, it's...
Because you can just be like, all right, it didn't work out.
I'm going to go do another thing.
Sorry, we took your money.
Yeah.
We're going to try something else.
Yeah.
For me, it's more of like the time is not a big deal for me.
Yeah.
It's like letting people down that believed in me.
Yeah.
And then I said, sorry, I can't pay you back.
Yeah.
No, but I'm going to go try something else and make money here.
Yeah.
I've got nothing to worry about. Like,
it's
nothing's on my back because you knew the risk.
It's great that you had that perspective because that's very rare. And that's, unfortunately, I think part of the reason that's rare is our media, meaning our financial media, you know, has done a horrible job of celebrating money raising, not making money.
Right. It's like, you know, like this person just raised this much money, and then 7 years later, they still haven't done anything.
I'm not even going to say the names of companies that like have like eclipsed Tom sometimes in the media like love. And I'm like, but they make no money.
Zero money.
Like they've raised a ton of money.
Yeah.
And I was like, and you know, I'm like, isn't the purpose, last time I checked, if you start a business to make money and make it sooner than later?
Yeah, you get this like false belief around yourself, like all the press is talking about us, and look what people, six people invested in us, we got all these press hits, but then 3 months later, no one talks about you and you still haven't launched anything for a year.
Yeah.
And I just feel like it's so enticing though, because you can have a nice background or degree and like resume and have a great pitch deck.
Yeah.
And have two or three like key people on your team and say, we've got this next big idea, give us $5 million.
Crazy.
And then live off that for a few years and not have to execute.
Anything, yeah.
No, I just feel like that's a...
It's not gonna last much longer. So if you're an entrepreneur watching this and you've got some money, I'd hoard it. I'd really try to get something launched. I'd try to get some revenue quick, because I think unfortunately, we're headed in a direction where there's gonna be some challenging times ahead.
That's tough. Now, so you took kind of a back seat the last few years.
Yeah.
You sold half of it. You said you were in and out of the office like a couple of days a month. I'm assuming someone else was running it.
Oh, yeah,
you
know, still,
Yeah, someone else is running it, but you're still like the face, I guess,
sure,
the ambassador, chairman. And but something happened recently, or I guess it's been happening for the last couple of years, where all these shootings have been happening in schools and in clubs and bars and things like that. And one happened here in Los Angeles recently.
Yeah.
And what happened to you and your family when that happened?
Yeah, so I mean, a crazy statistic is in the last 340 days of the year, this year, 2018, we've had over 300 mass shootings.
300?
300.
What's considered a mass shooting?
More than four people killed.
Four people are shot or killed?
Killed, I think,
Four people are killed.
Yeah.
Wow. And 300 of those
300
in the United States?
In the United States, yeah.
Is that for real?
Like almost one a day. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, no,
do we just not hear about some of these, or are there?
You don't hear about them.
No,
it's not small towns. It's actually communities of color. It's inner cities. It's I mean, this is where gun violence. I mean, you know,
so actually, it may not be like a terrorist thing.
No, it's this is plaguing these communities day in, day out. The only ones you do hear about are the more, you know, mass shootings at a club or a synagogue or a bar. But so, What happened was, is many people, we've read about everything, you know, read about what happened in Parkland, and we read about, you know, what happened just a few months and a half ago in a synagogue, and then you read about it happened in a yoga studio, and you somehow kind of get a little bit numb to it because it's happening so often, and you almost start to expect that this is the new normal.
Until it happens to you or your community.
That's the thing. And unfortunate, I wish that was not the case, but you know, in my case that was, and it is what it is. Yeah, about a month ago, we had a shooting in Thousand Oaks, which is 15 minutes from my house. 12 people were killed. My wife called me the next morning. I was actually on my way to Tom's, back of the Uber, and I was just like catching up on some emails and stuff. And she said, you know, I'm not going to take our son to school today, and I'm scared. And, you know, this happened in a synagogue just a couple weeks ago, and I read about a yoga studio, and I just don't know where we're safe anymore, because Thousand Oaks is, in the news report, said it's listed as one of the top 10 safest cities in America.
Wow.
And so if it can happen there, it can happen anywhere.
Yeah, it's
and
not like it's in the ghetto in L.A. This is like suburban neighborhood.
Suburban neighborhood.
North of L.A., yeah.
And so my wife, it was interesting. She said, someone has to do something about this. And I said, I agree. And I said, okay, well, I'll see you when you get home tonight. You know, she was pretty emotional. And I got off the phone, and, you know, I've told the story now a few times. It was as if, I mean, if whatever your religious beliefs are, like it was almost like a divine moment for me where I realized, like, she was saying rhetorically, someone has to do something, throwing her hands in the air. But everything in the universe and in my brain said, no, that's you. Like, you have a platform. You built a business to help people. You've got millions of customers. You know, you have the access and you had the resources through Tom's success to, you know, take some of those resources and do something. And if you don't do it, who's going to do it? Like, I mean, like, and so I wrote a very passionate email to our CEO and to my partners and our board. And I said, look, guys, like, we've been talking about doing other things for years. You know, we've given shoes, 88 million pairs. We've given hundreds of thousands of people their eyesight back through our sunglass program. But we've always been talking about the last couple of years, like, how do we have more of an impact on issues in our country that are plaguing us? Like, how do we really dig in right here locally and really have an impact beyond these basic needs?
So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all, or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life. So don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we had been talking about this for a couple of years. I said, guys, if we don't do something now, like, this is like one of the biggest issues of our time. I don't think we're ever going to do anything besides give us shoes and eyewear. And that's fine. And that's great. But if I'm really going to be engaged in our organization and really feel that we're walking the walk and, you know, not just talking the talk, like, we got to do something. We got to do something now. And of course, they were like, whoa. Well, you know, like, come on, Blake. I mean, like, yeah, we personally agree. Like, you know, like, this is, you know, this is really sad. And, like, you know, we can make a donation. And I said, no, guys, I really, you know, I can't force us or want to force us or anything. But I really think this is a moment in time where our country needs leadership and needs leadership from the corporate side. And if we don't use our voice, then just going to be more and more of this happening. And so we made a really bold decision. Within 3 days, we literally made a commitment.
So you convinced them all.
Yeah, it took 3 days.
3 days. So like
three very long days.
Like,
long, long
days. How
many
people? Is it 10 people? Five? Yeah,
probably about eight people. Probably about five people in terms of my financial partners and our CEO, and then about 10 more people on the leadership team. And
keep calling them, it's emailing them, it's like, get behind me.
It's calling them, it's emailing them, it's begging them, it's late meetings, it's like the most, you know, I basically took every single ounce of relationship capital and business capital I had and said, we have to do this.
So did you need 100% participation on this, or was it a majority?
No, I didn't. I mean, I kind of picked one person off at a time, and then over time, you know. And the truth is everyone I talked to at the company, you know, philosophically, it's like, yes, like we agree. Like, someone has to do something. Like, this is getting to epidemic proportions. Like, we personally feel that, you know, there's real sensible gun legislation that we could, you know, greatly reduce gun violence. But the main thing was, like, is this right for our brand? You know, are we going to alienate a lot of customers? Because this is very political.
Yeah, we
like,
might.
You know, and like, so there was all this very real concern about, like, how it was going to affect our business. Is this, are we the right brand to do this? Do we have credibility in this space? Like all these things, which were very fair. And something in my gut, and this is where I give a lot of credit to my partners and our CEO, I just said that, guys, like there's only a few times in your life when you just know something. And wow. I know I can't show you the data. I know I can't show you this, but like I know in my gut that like we are the ones to do this.
Wow.
And so that's the type of conversations
that's
I had.
Amazing.
And so
you don't say that all you haven't said that in
never,
10 years.
In my life, yeah.
You said
so
that like 12 years
and
ago.
I've been pretty quiet. I mean, there's been a lot of decisions at Tom's the last 4 or 5 years that maybe I wouldn't have made them exactly that way, whether it's a product thing or distribution thing or giving strategy. So when I spoke out this strongly, it was a point where it's kind of like, okay, if we don't do this, then that's gonna have its own implications.
Yeah, he might be gone forever.
You know, who knows? I mean, I never had to do an ultimatum. Yeah, it was never that way.
Yeah.
But the thing was, is I said, guys, like, look, like this is a moment. Like, we built Tom's because we believed in a better tomorrow. We believe business can be part of a better tomorrow. And so this is an opportunity for us to truly walk the walk, to be super bold. And I know, because I know our customers. I built this company from the ground up. I know they'll be there with us.
Wow.
They might not agree 100% with us, but they will appreciate the fact that we're putting it on the line. So yeah, after 3 days, convinced the team, and it was a Herculean effort, not just with me, but with as I got one or two people, then I, you know, started like cobbling them to everyone together. And then 3 days later, I went on Jimmy Fallon. And
so 3 days of convincing.
Yeah.
And then 3 days later, you hadn't created anything yet.
No. Well, we were kind of doing both. Like I kind of was like convincing and having a small team here kind of creating stuff just in case I got the yes.
In-house startup.
Yeah, it was totally an in-house startup. And the biggest thing we had to do is we created a simple technology on our homepage, which is the other reason why people were nervous, is this was right before the biggest sales week of the year. This was Black Friday, Cyber Monday, you know, all that stuff.
Wow.
Which is our biggest, I mean, our whole year is based on
30% is week.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and I said, I want to take down all the shoes and put a technology there to help people send a postcard to their representatives urging them to pass universal background checks.
On Black Friday.
On Black Friday, or 2 days before Black Friday.
Oh my gosh.
So that was also kind of like part of the reason why it was such a heightened.
They're like, can we wait a week later?
Yeah. And that was the question. And I said, no. I said, look, if you wait a week, it looks like a marketing campaign. Mm. You know, it looks like you can't. Like, if we believe in this and we don't want another shooting to happen,
wow.
And we want to get people, you know, moving in the right direction, we got to do it right
now.
Do
we care more about our profits on Black Friday or about saving people's lives?
Yeah, and that was it. And then when you had it that way, it was actually an easier discussion to have because everyone really at Tom's is there for the right reason. And even though they want to be responsible from a fiduciary responsibility, they also want to make sure that if we can actually make a difference in people's lives, we do that. And we've always led that way. And I've been very proud of Tom's in that regard. But what happened was is we literally created this simple technology where any single person in the United States could go on the website, put their name and address. The address would tell them basically trigger who their representative is in Congress.
In their state.
In their state. Yeah. And then they persend, and then we would print and mail and pay for the mailing a postcard to the representative. And so the goal was is to get, you know, thousands of people to do this, to get all these postcards to flood the offices of these Congress people so that when it comes back in session, they would vote for universal background checks.
Wow.
Now, universal background checks.
So it's not
checks,
like getting rid of guns all in
all. No. That's the most important thing.
This is for what reason?
Yeah. So basically, we are 100% pro Second Amendment, 100% pro guns. I mean, I grew up in Texas hunting.
Yeah.
I have lots of friends that are hunters. We have no problem with guns. What we have a problem with is when guns get in the wrong people's hands. And that's where you see this huge spike in gun violence. So right now in our country, there is no universal background check at a federal level. Mm-hmm. So that means you can be a felon, you can get out of jail, you can go and buy 5 AK-47s.
No way.
Yes, 100%.
No background check.
No background check. Go get it. You can go to the gun show, you can go to a private dealer, you can
wow.
do this. Second thing is you can be a person that has a mental health track record and go buy guns. You can be a domestic abuser. You can have a record of abusing your spouse and go buy a gun. And you can be on the terrorist watch list and still go buy a gun.
No way.
I swear. This is why, so it's like, when I learned this, that's why I was like, guys, we're not picking a fight politically. This is a human issue. Yeah. 90% of Americans say they're in favor of universal background checks, but there has not been the political will to get it done because it's become so politicized.
Right.
Because people just hear guns like, oh, you're taking my guns away. And so that was the biggest thing I had to really get across on Jimmy Fallon and then in the media I did after is like, look, we have no problem with guns. What we have a problem with is people going and buying them so easily where they're not fit to have them.
Wow.
And so once we started convincing—
or this not, is what people have been saying in the media all year, in the last couple of years, as more shootings happen.
Yeah.
They've been bringing up that point about background checks.
Exactly, exactly.
And they keep talking about it, and media keeps talking about it, but no one's been doing anything.
Well, no one created an organized way to,
right.
to harness the voices. So what we did is we did two things. We said, look, we're going to make the largest corporate contribution in the history of the United States. We gave $5 million, and that was 5 times larger than the second largest contribution.
$5 million for what?
To the organizations that are working to end gun violence.
Okay.
So that is March for Our Lives, Mothers Demand Action,
wow.
Faith in Action. So these organizations are doing the hard work, because it is a complex issue, of all the different ways you can decrease gun violence. Then we created the technology on toms.com where any American can go and send a postcard in less than 30 seconds. That was, we launched it like, I think like 18 days ago. Now when this is shown, it'd be probably 24 days or 30 days. And we have already had almost 700,000 Americans send a postcard.
It's crazy.
I mean, we were hoping to get like 20,000.
Really?
So, I mean, we didn't. Yeah, it's hard.
Stars, but you're like, yeah.
It's hard to get people to act. It's hard for people to actually take time out of their day to go to a website, to fill out a form. But we realized there are so many people in our country that were so fed up of reading about another shooting and needed a way to feel that they could be part of the solution, not just saying, oh, our thoughts and prayers are with you. Like they actually, like there's this pent up demand, we didn't realize at the time, for people to actually have a real opportunity to act. And so by giving them the ability to go to toms.com, to send a postcard, to help get universal background wow. checks passed, it kind of like unleashed this pent up need that so many people had. And it's been amazing. And then the other thing that's been amazing, and this is something we can never have predicted, but some of our biggest supporters have been gun owners. The lead singer of the band Florida Georgia Line, country music, huge band, millions of fans. He's a gun owner. And he put a video on Instagram and said, look, I'm a proud gun owner, but I'm also a parent. And I've got a daughter, and I don't like the idea that she's going to go to school and have to do a lockdown
trip. Wow.
And then we had another person that was
cool.
a gun owner. And so what we've seen, especially on social media, the videos that have gone the most viral on this have all been gun owners. Because they're like, look, like I'm a gun owner. Like I have no problem with that, but we've got to be more sensible. And I think
wow.
that's why we're seeing the tide turning. And I was speaking to Congressman Thompson today from California, who's working on the legislation that's going to be on the House floor second week of January. And he's like, I've been working on this for 6 years. Like, this is going to pass in the House. And if we do things properly and keep showing that the American people want to be heard, this could be a law. And like that,
wow.
that would be a change in American history. I mean, this is something that over decades has not been able to happen. So
wow,
it's
man.
Exciting. And so
this is like Tom's like circa 2006,
yeah,
right?
It feels like exactly like
social
that.
Social media taking off and spreading the story.
Yep. Yeah.
There's a new pain in the world that
yeah.
you're solving.
Yeah, it's like we've in a sense, I think for me personally, and I think this is the lesson for entrepreneurs or anyone who feels that there's like these peaks and valleys in their
yes.
career, is like you need a battle to fight.
You do. You know? Otherwise, it's like, we're just trying to make more money.
Yeah, and there's, we're just trying to. And even if you're doing something good, even if you're helping get, you know, tens of millions of kids' shoes, over time, if you're really an entrepreneur in your blood, it's like you need that battle to fight. You need to do the impossible. And so when I pitched this to my internal team and there was resistance, I'm actually glad there was resistance. If they would have said, yeah, great idea, I don't think we would have executed as well. But because there was some initial resistance, because there was concern about sales, because there was concern about if this was going to be seen as a political move and we have a very equally split politically customer base, because of that, we executed so intensely and so carefully. And because of that, you know, we've seen this go viral. We've had, you know, something like 7 billion media impressions in 3 weeks. I mean, it's just nuts. And so to me, what...
And that, how have sales been through Black Friday?
Yeah, so the great thing is we don't have all of our numbers for our wholesale accounts, but all of our online numbers have been up. And up significantly, double digits. So not what we were expecting.
And because there was no shoes to buy. Right? Was that true, or you could go down the page and find?
Well, you could still find shoes down below.
But it's like right in the whole page.
Above the fold, there was only the postcard.
Wow.
And it's been that way for almost 2 weeks.
Almost 700,000 as of us recording this. Probably when this goes out, close to 1 million.
Hopefully, yeah. And if you're watching and we're not to 1 million yet, go to the website and you could be like the final person.
Wow.
I want to go back on Jimmy Fallon when we hit 1 million.
So what do they do? They go to toms.com.
Yep.
Just right on the homepage,
right
still.
Yeah, still, it'll still be there. Christmas, if this is Christmas Eve, we'll still be on the homepage, front and center.
Through January 1st.
Yeah, definitely through January 1st.
So it'll be right there.
Until Congress is back in session. That's January 4th.
Gotcha. Yeah. It'll take, what do you do?
22 seconds.
Yeah. You just type your name. Your zip code.
Yeah.
And then it tells you where to send it, and you click send.
And then we pay for the...
You pay for the postage.
And the printing of it, yeah.
Is there a thank you at the
end? Yeah, you get a thank you, and then the thank you has a button you can click, and it will send to all your Twitter, Facebook, everyone.
Smart.
Yeah, and so it becomes a viral loop.
Wow.
You know, so that's what's been... So yeah, so I mean, it's
you
working.
Fired up about this.
Ah, I mean, so fired up. You know, because it's
excited.
Get to be part of a solution. Like, I just hate hearing about and experiencing things of pain and suffering in our world, knowing that we have, as humans, the tools and the technology to make it better. And then what I also am realizing, the macro thing that now has like gotten me so fired up is, as a brand, we're going to look for things going forward that have become politicized that are not political or human. Because there are more and more things that are dividing us now that used to be not political. And to me, that is the pain point I think I've identified, is there are things, and I don't know what the next thing is going to be yet, but I know there will be a next thing.
Yeah.
This is a human issue that whether you're on the right or the left or you're from this part of the world, we all care about the same thing.
Yeah.
And Tom's can be a business that brings people together to make those changes. And so that's where I'm realizing that's really what Tom's 2.0 is about. And the interesting thing, as you look at like what's the business impact, one of the things has just been fascinating to me is, and I saw the statistic today, so it's fresh in my mind. So up until 4 weeks ago, 85% of our sales were women and 15% male, okay? And that's been pretty much that way since I started the
company. Why is that? Because?
The original shoe we did was this slip-on called the Alpargata, and it's a more feminine-looking shoe. And there's still a lot of guys, millions of guys have worn it over time, but for the most part, it gravitated more towards women. And then because it's like a flat, like more thin kind of slip-on. So about 2 years ago, and this is like kind of, look backing now, I'm like, I'm so grateful. About 2 years ago, we realized like if we were going to grow our business and kind of get that next grade of growth, we had to bring on a great men's designer, and we had to create like boots and trainers and shoes that guys could wear, you know, beyond our original shoe that we're known for. And so we actually built this amazing product line for guys in the past 2 years. The problem is we could never get any guys' attention for them to see it, because most guys just assume like, oh, Tom's what my girlfriend wears, right? That was the thing. Or my mom.
Kind of like Uggs.
Yeah, exactly. Uggs is a great example of this. Yeah. That's why they hired Tom Brady to try to.
You look cool now.
Yeah, but we couldn't afford to hire Tom Brady. So we had this issue for 2 years. We have great men's product, but we never get enough attention because we don't have a huge marketing budget because we spend so much money on giving. So this happens. People who want to end gun violence don't have a gender connection, right?
Yeah.
So now about half of our traffic to the website was guys and half was girls.
Pretty cool.
As of now, this last week, 40% of our sales are men now.
No way.
From 15% to 40%. So think of that, three
times.
Because
they saw it.
They saw it.
Like, oh, this looks cool.
It's cool, yeah. So they went there for a postcard, and then they saw these boots that are really masculine, and they're waterproof, and it's freezing cold and snowing in Wyoming right now. And so one of the things that's interesting to me is, and this is kind of the entrepreneur lesson, you can have the right product, but if you don't have the right mechanism to get the right people in front of your product, your business isn't going to grow. Yeah. And so what I realize is while our growth has been kind of flatlined the last few years, even though our product has been better than ever, the reason it's been flatlined is we didn't have a fight big enough to attract this attention. And now that we have all
you're not spending advertising.
No.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and we're spending $5 million in giving.
Yeah.
So it's a significant investment in resources. But what that's done is it's gotten all these guys to Tom's, maybe for the first time.
Wow.
And then they see these boots or they see these sneakers or they see these shoes. They're like, oh, that's actually for me. And then, and so I think that what we're going to see, if I come on a year from now, I think we're going to have a much bigger business. And I think we're going to have a business that's much more balanced from a gender basis, which makes it, you know, a lot more dependable or predictable in the future.
That's pretty cool.
So it's been really amazing to me to see how many like lessons we've learned in such a short period of time just by doing the right thing. At the end of the day, we took a huge leap of faith.
Big risk.
And it was very risky 4 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. It feels less risky today.
Yeah, it seems like you're the smartest guy in the world.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Well, this is one of my favorite quotes about entrepreneurs. It says, when you're an entrepreneur, every day you wake up and you know you're either going to be a genius or an idiot, but you will never be a regular guy or girl trying to get through the day.
You'll always be remembered for something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you'll never be remembered as like, oh yeah, they really got through the day. Like it was always genius or idiot. And so I've been an idiot plenty of times in my career, a genius maybe a couple times. I don't know ultimately how this is going to affect the business long term because we're getting a lot of awareness now. But what I do know is everyone at Tom's internally has this kind of renewed kind of hope and purpose because they realize that we can use business, use our community, use technology to have an impact in something that like politicians have had a hard time doing.
Wow.
So that's what's exciting.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Man, 700,000, that's cool. Let's get it to 1 million.
Yeah, let's get it to 1 million.
Go to toms.com right now where you're listening to this. Take a screenshot on your phone.
Yes.
And tag it on your Instagram story. Tag you as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if you check your Instagram
stories. All the time. Yeah.
So tag Blake. Are you at Tom's?
Either at Tom's or at Blake Mikoski, both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Blake Mikoski. Make sure to tag Blake and myself. Let's get this message out there far and wide.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I want to ask three final questions.
Okay, great.
This is called the three truths.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Three truths. So I want you to imagine that it is, you get to choose the day that is your last day on earth.
Okay, okay.
It can be 500 years from now for whatever reason.
Okay.
Any day you want in the future.
Okay.
You've achieved everything you want. You've grown the businesses, helped the entrepreneurs, solved human problems.
Yeah.
All the things that you want to do in your lifetime, you've done it.
Mm.
And it's a beautiful moment. But it's your time to go. You got to go at some point.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, all the things that you've created in your life, your books, your videos, your work, your businesses, they have to go with you.
Mm.
So no one has access to your information.
Okay.
Anymore.
Okay.
But you get to leave behind on a piece of paper three things you know to be true about all your experiences in life.
Wow.
These would be the three truths or the three lessons that you would leave behind to the world.
Mm.
And you only get to share three things. What would you say are your three truths?
Wow. That's such a good question. Well, I think I would start with the phrase is used a lot, but it's been really important to me in my life since I was 18. I had one of my best friends pass away when I was 18. And I could have been on the plane. It was a plane crash. I could have been on the plane with him, and I wasn't. And I realized that I could never predict when that day would come, and so that I should make the most of every day. And so when I was 18, I started signing every letter, because we didn't really have email back then, carpe diem, seize the day. And to this day, every email I ever write, I sign it carpe diem. Every thank you note I write, I sign it carpe diem. Every book I sign it carpe diem, because I believe that, you know, the greatest honor we can give to the people who've come and passed before us, and the greatest kind of honor we can give to, you know, whatever your spiritual belief in terms of how you've been created, is to seize the day, is to truly live every day as if it's your last. And so if this is the last conversation I have with someone that gets recorded, I want to make it the best one. You know, if tonight when I go home and I read my son his story, I want to be present to that, because I want to be the best one. So carpe diem would be my first truth. My second truth was also has been very influential in my life, and it was given to me by a great entrepreneur named Bob Dedman. Bob Dedman started a company called Club Corp, and he was one of the largest donors to SMU, the college I went to. And I got to meet him when I started my first business, which was a laundry business, and I asked him for a piece of advice. And at this stage, he was probably in his like late 70s, very successful, billionaire. And I said to him, I said, so if you give one thing, write down your piece of advice, kind of like you're with me. And he wrote down on a piece of paper, the more you give, the more you live. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is absolutely true. Like, there is nothing that has given me more joy, more fulfillment than the moments of truly giving, and giving outside of your comfort zone. Not just giving when it feels comfortable or it's an easy check to write, but giving when it really kind of feels sacrificial. Giving when it causes you to get on a plane to fly halfway around the world to be with, you know, kids in a slum. Like, really, the more you give, the more you live. And I've never had a day on this planet where I involved or incorporated giving into it that I felt like was not one of the more meaningful days.
Wow.
So I would say carpe diem, the more you give, the more you live. And then my third one, and this one doesn't come to me like as immediately as those two, because those have been so ingrained in my life's work. But I do think that one of the things that I've worked on a lot, and my wife has really helped me a ton, is really to be present. Because there's so many things going on. There's so many digital distractions. There's so many people pulling at your time. And so you can come up with all the different strategies in the world about how to manage your time or how you're going to commit to, you know, certain things. And we talked about that earlier in the show. But I think the thing is you can only truly be in one place at one time. Multitasking is kind of bullshit, I think. Yeah. Like, I am here right now, and I am fully present with you. And I'm excited about answering these three truths. But when I get home, I only have the opportunity to be present with my kids or my wife, you know? And then tomorrow, if I'm with a friend and having lunch, I have the ability to be present with them. And I think that is a practice that takes a lifetime, and you'll never perfect it. We'll always try to get better. But I think the more moments, I actually have it tattooed right here on my arm, because I want to be reminded every time I look down, like, just be present, because that's the only moment that we actually have, is the present. And the more that you are present, especially with your loved ones and the people you care about, that's what creates those memories and those moments that you will hold on, you know, for your entire life.
Wow.
Yeah.
So seize the day. Be present was the last one. The second one
so
was
carpe diem.
The more you give, the more you live.
The more you give, the more you live, and be present.
I love those, man. You talked about your wife a few times throughout this. Can you share the greatest lesson that she has taught you and how important she is in your life?
Yeah, it's so interesting, because when I'm at my best self is when I'm most connected to her. Mm. When I'm truly thriving, whether it's in business or with our kids or with my friends, it's when I'm really, really spending time listening to her and listening to her in a way that she knows kind of what's best for me. And I think that's what her superpower is she, not just me, but other people. I think she really can understand, and she has a gut intuition that others don't. And she can really understand, like, when you're in your best place. Yeah. But I think the thing that she has taught me the most is really goes back to the thing that I still continue to struggle with, though, is just that life is about these very important moments with the relationships you have, and in it, and you've got to make time on your calendar to have them. You know, I mean, she is so good at saying no to things.
Wow.
And I'm not.
We want to say yes
to
everything.
Yeah, and she is so good at not answering emails.
Wow.
And so good at not answering text messages. I mean, it drives, you know, people in my life crazy sometimes, like my mom, because she's like, Heather has not texted me back. And I'm like,
She's present.
She's like, yeah. And so I think the thing that I'm really grateful to Heather is, you know, she's really helped me slow down, kind of, you know, really understand what's important, what relationships, what do I absolutely have to do versus just saying yes to everything. And sometimes that's the reason I know that that's so important in my life is it's also the thing I struggle with, and it's the things that we argue about. And it's like, because it is hard to do, but when I do it is when I feel the most connected and the most present. And so, you know, it's that. And then the other thing is she is just an incredible defender of anything that's unjust. Mm. You know, she's a huge animal activist. I mean, she will do anything for any animal on the planet. She is the original phone call and saying someone has to do something about this after the Thousand Oaks led to all this and the ending gun violence. I mean, when something is not right, you know, she is not afraid to speak out, even if it's not politically correct,
right,
even if it's going to be uncomfortable in a group setting. Like, she speaks her mind, and that gives me more confidence to speak mine and to use my platform to do things that might be outside of my comfort
wow.
zone.
That's cool. Sounds like a powerful woman.
Yeah, very
Inspiring,
much so.
Powerful woman.
Very much so.
Well, I want to acknowledge you for a moment for doing the challenging things. I feel like you've been leading the way in your business for a long time, doing the thing that people have said, this is crazy, you can't give up, you can't give a shoe for selling a shoe, that's too much cost, you know, how are you going to build it? For doing the hard thing constantly, because this right now is not like a popular thing to do with your team, with your business, until it is.
Yeah.
But you to have the vision and the courage to constantly step beyond what's possible is really inspiring. And I would acknowledge you for constantly serving other entrepreneurs with your heart, with your leadership, with your words and your actions, most importantly, by doing the hard thing and making a real change in the world. So I acknowledge you for everything, Blake. It's been really cool to connect with you. And I hope you achieve everything you want for your whole life. So make sure you guys go to toms.com, right on the homepage. It takes 22 seconds. Fill out the form, send it in, they'll pay for everything and do it all. It takes less than 30 seconds. Check it out right now. Take a screenshot of it.
And you'll get to celebrate with us, because this is going to get passed. Like, this is going to literally change the history of our country as it relates to gun legislation. And so one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about people doing this is not just because it's going to be effective, but I want to give everyone that joy to be able to say, in 2019 or in 2018, Christmas Eve, I sent a postcard, and in 2019, a law was passed because
crazy.
Of that. That's what I want. I want everyone to have that experience, because it's going to happen.
Wow, that's amazing. Make sure you guys do that right now. This is a final question, and we can follow you on Twitter, Instagram.
Yeah, it's at Blake Mikoski for Twitter, Instagram, everything, and then at Toms.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. And for anyone that wants to do that solar energy give back, DM you or something.
Yeah, DM me for sure.
See, maybe you'll invest in the next great
The best thing is to DM me on Instagram.
There you go. Final question is, what's your definition of greatness?
So my definition of greatness is someone who lives authentically, someone who is present, and someone who really seizes the day. Because I feel like when you are an authentic person and you are present in the moment, and you don't take any moment for granted, that's when you can live your best life. And when you live your best life, that's when you can achieve greatness.
There you go, Blake.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, brother.
Awesome.
Appreciate
Thank you.
There you have it, my friends. I hope you enjoyed this episode with Blake Mikoski. Make sure to take on the challenge. Go to toms.com and follow through on this. Please, please, please share this with your friends. lewishouse.com/736 for the full show notes, the video, all the goodies we talked about. It'll all be linked up on the show notes there. Tag Blake and tag Toms. Let them know you enjoyed this. Share with your friends. We got to get this message out far and wide. If you have an entrepreneur friend, make sure to tag them over on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram to listen to this, to watch this, and to share it with their friends. This is an important topic, guys.
I really hope you share this with your friends. This episode is a powerful one, and I loved connecting with Blake. Love his mission and everything he's up to. And make sure to take care of yourselves this holiday. You know, wherever you are in the world this holiday, make sure you reflect on a lot of the things that you've gone through this year. Make sure you're spending quality time with friends and family. And I'm going to be doing a recap episode here soon of 2018, biggest lessons, biggest successes, and what to think about moving forward in 2019. So stay tuned for that one coming soon. If this is your first time here, please subscribe and leave a review over on Apple Podcasts or on iTunes. You can subscribe over on Spotify, Pandora, Stitcher, all the places online the podcasts are. We are there. Please subscribe. Leave us a review. We love you. We appreciate you. And as Oprah Winfrey said, don't worry about being successful, but work towards being significant, and the success will naturally follow. Focus on doing something that matters. Focus on doing something to give back, to pay it forward, and to integrate a holistic approach to making an impact in the world with your business to the best way of your abilities. I love you guys so very much, and you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new quick Caribbean escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.